Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Well, it is Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is technically January 6th. And the 12 days of Christmas, that song that we all know, the 12 days in the ancient Christian calendar ran from December 25th, which was Christmas Day, to January 6th. So that whole season is the Christmas season. And in ancient Christianity, when they kind of came up with this Christian calendar, the whole season was when they celebrated Christmas. So everything that we now celebrate on Christmas Day was stretched out, or rather we kind of condensed it all into one day. And they would celebrate on the 25th that God gave God's self in the form of this little baby. But on the 6th is when they would celebrate receiving it and kind of discovering God's presence in your life. And now, of course, we all kind of celebrate that at once on Christmas Day. And really, we celebrate that on Christmas Eve, right? Because we have services on Christmas Eve. And I've noticed since I've been here in West Virginia that some churches are actually doing Christmas Eve services because they couldn't get folks to come out on the 24th because that's when people were spending time with their family. So they're having services on the 23rd. So I kind of... makes you wonder, are we rewriting the Christian calendar? And maybe should we change the Christmas season? Or should we try to, you know, do this really historical thing and maintain the Christmas season until January 6th? Because I don't know about you, but we walked in here this morning and it was like, oh yeah, it is still Christmas. Christmas trees are up, right? But we've kind of moved on, right? We've had another holiday, we've had New Year's, kids have gone back to school, and we're, you know, full steam ahead into the new year, and then we come to church and it's like, oh, no, it's still Christmas. So I think that's something for us modern Christians to wonder about. How much do we embrace the times? How much do we try to hang on to tradition? Where do we fall with that? So something to continue to ponder. But the story that we read on Epiphany Sunday is the story of the wise men, because they really did receive the Christ child. So it's a story that reminds us to search and discover. This is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who is born King of the Jews? For we observe the star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are in awe of the gift that you have given us this Christmas and the gift that you give us every day. We pray that you will open our hearts to help us receive it, that we will be transformed by your words, by the words of my mouth and by the meditations of all of our hearts. Amen. So when I think about the Christmas story, the wise men never quite seem to fit to me. They kind of seem like the circle, the one that doesn't belong game. They just seem a little bit out of place. And so this week, as I was preparing, I was wondering, why are the wise men in this story at all? Why do they even show up? Now, when you are a guest preacher and you come to a church, you don't know anyone that you are speaking to. And so I don't know how that question goes over. But I was talking to my dad last night, telling him what I was going to say. And I said, well, I'm going to start out by saying, I don't even know why the wise men are here. Why are they in this story? And my dad said, well, because they're in this story because, you know, they're searching after wisdom, and this is the birth of wisdom. And he's like off in like theology about Sophia. And I'm like, Dad, you got to give me like 20 minutes, okay? This is the whole sermon. You can't answer it in 5 seconds. Just let me ask the question. Okay. When we ask a question, we want to get to the answer, right? My sweet dad, who loves to ask questions, he was ready to answer that one. So sometimes when we ask a question, we are in a hurry to get to the answer, right? And sometimes when we ask questions, we don't even like the question, right? Because there might be one or two of you out there who is thinking, well, what is she talking about? Why are the wise men there? They're there because they're there. They're there because they've always been there. Because they were in the nativity scene that my parents put out, and they were in the nativity scene that my parents put out before that, you know? Yes, yes, it's always been like that. But why has it always been like that? God could have made this story happen however God wanted. Why did God pick these wise men to come? I mean, if you think about some of the mysteries of this story, you know, why is there a baby being born in a barn? Whew, that's always a tough one for me to get over. This poor young girl, Mary, has no women around her to help. I always think maybe the innkeeper's wife came out to help, you know, but she's giving birth in a barn. I mean, if we can get over that, then logically it makes sense that there are going to be animals there, right? And if there are animals there, then logically it makes sense that there are going to be shepherds who come because they take care of animals. So all this kind of makes sense until you bring in these three guys who come out of nowhere and they're all dressed up and they got gifts. I mean, nobody knew this kid was coming, but they did somehow. They're prepared, they've got presents, and they've been to see the king. I mean, think about the journey these guys have had. They've been to see a king and then they go and meet a child born in a barn. That's kind of two ends of the social spectrum, right? This is a mysterious story, and I've just never quite understood why they are part of the story in the first place. So if you'll permit me to ask these questions, even if you are really chomping at the bit to answer them, let's just think about why these guys are here in the first place. What do we know about these magi? First of all, did you notice that in the scripture it doesn't say there are three of them? It just says magi from the east. They bring three gifts, but there could have been two of them. There could have been 30 of them. I mean, who really knows? So we don't know how many there were, but we know they are magi. We know they were astronomers. These are people who studied the heavens, studied the world around them. They were very attuned and alert to what was going on in the natural world. They were so alert that they could figure out that there was a new star in the sky. I don't know about you, but I don't look at the sky nearly often enough to know if there's one extra star there that wasn't there the night before. Would you have noticed that? I would not have noticed that. King Herod certainly did not notice that. But the Magi did. They were paying attention. They were alert. And they were looking for something, right? They had been studying. They'd been preparing. These were educated folks. They were very learned, they were respected, and they were really on this academic exercise of who is this star for? Why has it appeared? And at some point, that academic exercise moved them forward, right? It drove them out of their safe studies. It drove them to go and explore. So we know that they were well-respected, they were educated. We know that they are curious, that they ask questions, that they want to know who this star is for and where that child is. we know that they are comfortable moving among those in power, right? So they set out on this journey, and they come to Jerusalem, which is the capital city, and they don't know where to go next. So, you know, logically, the person you were going to ask for directions is the king? I don't know about that. I've made plenty of trips to Washington, D.C., and it's almost a guarantee that every time I'm in Washington, I am going to get lost. I'm going to go around and around those monuments and not know where I am and not know how to get in the right place. And never once has it crossed my mind, you know, I'm lost. Someone get the White House on the phone. Give me Mr. President so that he can tell me which way to go, right? That's not the first thing that comes to mind. Or, oh, he's not available. Give me his closest, you know, advisors at the CIA. Get them on the phone. They can tell me where to go. No, that's not really the way things work. But that's what the wise men did, right? They came to town. They must have been so well respected that it was no big deal for them to have an audience with the king and to ask the king, have you heard this news? Have you heard this news about this child who's been born? They say he's king of the Jews. Now, I'm also willing to bet the Magi's were no dummies, right? Because they were kind of educated people and they were going to see the king. I'm sure they've dealt with people of power before. They had to know that if they were going to ask the king, hey, I hear there's another king in town. Could you tell me where he is? That might cause a little trouble, right? That might cause a little insecurity, that Herod might create some motives that weren't quite so pure, right? So these guys are a little bit street savvy too. And we know that because they changed their minds. They're not going to trust Herod for the long haul. They're going to use him to get some information, but they don't come back to him. They don't feel that they have to obey his request that they come back so that he can worship, right? They know that he's not being sincere in that. So these Magi are pretty savvy. They're okay talking to people of power, and they're okay knowing when to say no to people in power, right? We also know that these guys who are so well educated, who are so respectful, who can go into a royal company and feel at home, they're also very humble. They're also very humble. Think about what it was like for them when they appeared in that family scene and walked into the home. And there's Mary. She's probably doing her normal mom things. And there's Joseph, maybe doing his normal dad things. And there's Jesus, you know, playing on the floor or something, trying to put Kleenexes in his mouth or, you know, something. What did they feel like? What did they feel like? Is that what they expected to find? Did they expect to find a kid in just an ordinary house? Think about last summer when the Duke and Duchess, William and Kate, had Prince George, right? The whole world was camped out there at the hospital waiting for her to go in labor. And if you have ever been 192 months pregnant yourself and feeling like a minivan, you know the last thing you want someone to say to you is, when are you going to have that kid? Whew, takes all your strength not to just, you know, leave me alone, I'm working on it, right? But this whole world was camped out there watching and waiting. And they knew when that, there was no doubt when they got to the hospital, no doubt how long the labor was, no doubt when the news was announced. Everybody knew what to expect. The wise men probably did not know what to expect. There was nobody camped out across the street when Jesus was born. No one knew he was coming. No one knew where he was. I wonder what the wise men were expecting. Were they expecting something like a palace? Maybe they went to King Herod because they thought the kid would be there. What did they expect? What did they feel when they arrived at an ordinary home with an ordinary family? Do you think they became a little self-conscious of all of their hoopla? Maybe a little bit self-conscious that they'd just been talking to the king and now they're talking with ordinary people? Maybe. And yet the first thing they do is not worry about themselves, but worship. They kneel down and worship because they know that they have finally found the thing they were looking for. They have finally found God. They finally found the wisdom that my dad was so eager to get to. They finally found the thing that is going to help them understand who they are and what their place is in God's kingdom, in God's world. Right? Think about these guys. They're foreigners. They have come from, they're not even Jewish. They're not even subjects of King Herod. They did not have to care about this child at all. He did not come for them, right? But somehow, something made them seek him out because they knew he did come for them. They knew that he was going to help them understand who they were in God's world. All this happened because they asked some questions. All of this happened because of that star of wonder. I wonder who that star is for. I wonder where it will lead us. At some point, they stopped wondering and they started walking, right? All those academic questions became personal, and they went out to find the answer to their question. Now, I don't know if we church folks are always so good with questions, because we come to church for answers, right? We want to hear the word of God, not the questions of God. We want to know what's right and what's wrong and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. We don't always do so well with the questions. I went to see a movie over the Christmas holiday, and I saw Saving Mr. Banks, which was amazing. But before the movie, they showed some previews, as they always do. And one of the previews was for a movie about the life of Jesus. Has anyone heard about this? I've just seen this one preview. I don't know anything about this movie. But the preview showed different clips from his life, you know, going to call the disciples who are fishing and walking on water and all of that. And then they showed one clip from the scene from the trial during Holy Week, where Pontius Pilate is interrogating Jesus, basically. And Pontius Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, this is right out of Scripture. Remember what Jesus says, Scripture? He says, "You say that I am." Right? You know what he says in the movie? He says, "I am." Oh, I'm sitting there in the seat just doing everything I can not to jump up and yell at the screen. No! You can't rewrite Jesus. That's not how it goes, right? But we want Jesus to be our superhero. We want him to be that figure in the movie that answers all the things and says, "I am. I defy you to do anything about it." And then it leads to the violence. No, that's not what Jesus is. Jesus asks questions. "You say that I am. Who do you say that I am?" Well, we've heard that before, right? Who do you say that I am? Jesus is a question asker, right? All along the way, from the beginning of his life to the end, he's asking people questions. When he gets lost in the temple when he's a teenager, what's he tell his parents? "Not sorry, Mom." He says, "Well, where'd you think I would be? Didn't you know to look in my father's house?" It's a little bit of sass from Jesus, don't you think, right? Jesus, the teenager. But he's asking a question. Where else would I be? That'll make you think, right? Or when he tells a parable, you know, which one of these was a neighbor to these folks? Who do you say that I am? When he talks to Peter after the resurrection, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, yes, God." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." That's going to stay with Peter. That's going to stay with him for a long time. He's going to keep asking himself that. You know, you could ask yourself that. 2014 could be the year of the question. And every day you could wake up and say, you know, Jesus is asking me, do I love him? What does that mean? What does it mean to feed my sheep? I mean, was Jesus talking literally? I don't think so. I don't think he wants me to literally go feed some sheep. But what does that mean, feed my sheep? What does that look like? Where are the sheep? Where are the people who need to be fed? What do they need to eat? What do I need to eat? Who's going to feed me? Should I be feeding me? Should I make someone else responsible for that? You know, you could wrestle with this for months. And I think if you started wrestling with the sheep, then, you know, by March or April, you'd start to say, what does it really mean to love Jesus? What does it mean when he says, "Do you love me?" Am I really prepared to say yes to that? What does that mean? Jesus asks questions. Jesus asks questions. This little baby that these star followers come to see is a question asker. We're not always so great with the questions. We want to get to the answers. Sometimes we don't even want the questions, right? We don't want doubt. We want certainty. And yet Jesus comes to us to ask questions. On this day of Epiphany, when we celebrate finding the answer, what we are really finding is more questions, aren't we? Because after examining it, I think these wise men, they can stick around in this story. I understand some of their purpose now. They're here to show us that when you ask a question, you've got to follow. And when you follow, it's going to take you to strange places. It's going to take you to people of power and people without power. It's going to make you fall down in awe and wonder. All of that is the journey that God has for us, if we will only begin by asking the question. Star of wonder, guide us. Amen.